Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is from Basra Daf Tzadi Aleph. We are holding on the very top of Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. We are at Tanur Rabbanan on the top line. Today's show is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Leah Nishmas, his mother, called the Basimcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. What we're going to discuss today on this last daf of the fifth parak of Bava Basra, first we're going to talk about halachos relating to doing business in Eretz Yisrael. And that's going to lead us into a discussion of leaving Eretz Yisrael and how terrible it is to leave Eretz Yisrael, and other lessons that we derive from Megillas Rus. The Gemara is going to have five different teachings of Rav Chanan Bar Rava in the name of Rav. And the Gemara is going to go through the name of various famous people from Tanakh whose names are not recorded in Tanakh. Then the Gemara in Amud Beis is going to tell us a variety of memories that Rabbi Yochanan shared. Rabbi Yochanan would say, oh, I remember the days when, and he had five different memories that he shared with us. And then the Gemara is going to darshan the names of Machlon and Kilion in Megillas Rus and discuss why it is that they were punished, what their real names were, what were their nicknames, and why were they called by those names. The Gemara is then going to define one of the brachos for keeping the mitzvos that's recorded in the Chumash, where the Torah says "Ve'achalta min hatavua yashan." So, what exactly does that mean? "Ve'achalta min hatavua yashan." What exactly is that bracha? We're going to have two basic opinions and a little bit of an elaboration on that point, and that's going to bring us to the end of the fifth parak. So, let's begin at the very top line of Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. Tanra. A person shouldn't be engaged in a business where he makes his money off of selling things that involve chayei nefesh, that are basic staples of one's existence. Kagon, yenos, shmanim, muslasos, like wine and oil and flour. You shouldn't buy such things from a person who produces them in order to be a middleman, to be able to have a markup and make money on it. Rather, the people who produce them themselves should sell them directly to the consumer, rather than engaging a middleman and raising the prices every time there's another person in between. It's going to raise the prices. I'm a lover of Lazar ben Azariah, showing Mistaka B'Yayin and Shemen. However, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah did do business with Yayin and Shemen in Eretz Yisrael. The Rashbam points out that to purchase wheat and then make bread out of it and sell that at a markup, that's mutter, because then you're doing something. You're not just a middleman transferring something from point A to point B, but you're actually producing it further and refining it further, so that for sure you're allowed to do. But the machlokas over here between what the Braisa tells us and the Tanakhama tells us and that which Rav Lazar ben Azariah did is about whether you're allowed to be a middleman in selling these staple items. Now, what was the svara that Rav Lazar ben Azariah relied upon? So b'yayin, savlok Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira, he holds like the sheet of Rabbi Yudah ben Beseira that we had yesterday, that you're allowed to take wine out of Eretz Yisrael to bring to Chutz La'aretz, because we don't want too much wine in Eretz Yisrael. People get drunk, and it's not appropriate for the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael for people to behave in such ways. So if you're going to raise the price of wine in Eretz Yisrael, it's not so bad. It's okay to raise the price of wine in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe people will drink a little bit less. Wouldn't it be the end of the world? V'shemen ba'asir d'blaz ben Azariah shchiach mishcha. And the reason why he was involved in selling oil was because there was so much oil, there was so much supply of oil, there wasn't a concern that it was going to become too pricey for people to afford, because the supply was so great. So one cannot make money twice, two times over when it comes to eggs. So Amar Mari Bar Mari Pligi Bar Rav Shmuel. There's Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What that means? What does it mean to make money two times over? Chad Amar Al Chad Trey. One says it means that if you bought an egg for a dinar, you're not allowed to go and sell it for shnei dinarim. You're not allowed to sell it for two dinarim. The Rishonim are bothered by the Kasha. How can you be sell it for anything near shnei dinarim? We just had in yesterday's daf that you're not allowed to mark up more than 1/6. So this is marking up double. So the Rashbam writes that eggs are not so necessary for chayei nefesh, and there's a big tircha and very little profit for an ani who goes around to be able to buy eggs, and therefore they allowed people to mark up eggs extra high, more than they would other products. Tosos quotes from the Rivam the same explanation, and he says, so you see that eggs are just different than other products. However, Tosos then quotes from the Rashba that the Chiddush is the other direction, that by Beitzim there were more machmir, that even though a person is selling something that he's making in his own house, not something that he's buying from someone and then reselling to somebody else, he's not a middleman, he's the one that owns the chicken coop, he's still allowed to make money, even double the amount of money by other things, but by Beitzim we're gonna cap him at double. Meaning, when did we say you're not allowed to mark something on more than 1/6? That's if you're a middleman. But if you're the one that actually produces the item, you can charge whatever you want for it. But when it comes to eggs, we're more machmir, says the Rashba. So two diametrically opposed points of view in Rishonim. Is it that by eggs we're going to be more makel, where we allow a markup of almost double, or is it that by eggs we're going to be more machmir, that even if you're the one that's the initial provider, you're still not allowed to do you're still not allowed to mark it up double? So that's one opinion. V'chad omar tagor l'tagora, and the other one says that you shouldn't involve another middleman, that one merchant shouldn't sell it to another merchant, because again, each middleman that you involve is going to raise the price. The Rashbam writes that it's dafka by eggs that you can't involve another middleman, because that's going to raise the price too much. But when it comes to other things, we're not so choshish for that, because if one person raises the price, it's you'll find someone else where you could buy it for cheap. Whereas by eggs, you're not going to find it easily somewhere else where you can buy it for cheap. And the Sma on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Chosh Mishpat Reish Lamed Aleph explains what the Rashbam means is that apparently it was common practice that one person would corner the market of eggs, that he would contract with every single chicken farmer in the entire city, and he would have all of the egg supply of that city. So if you're gonna raise the prices of eggs, then there's not going to be anywhere else to buy it. But when it comes to other items, so one person is raising the prices, so people won't buy by him; they'll go to someone else to purchase that product. Tan Rabban Matrian al Prakmatia Vafil B'Shabbos. A person is allowed to cry out in tefillah, even though normally one is not allowed to cry out too much on Shabbos with bakashos, but for merchandise that has gotten too cheap and has caused a major loss to the merchants, you're allowed to cry out even on Shabbos. And even though, generally speaking, one has to have a certain sense of simcha on Shabbos, Mukhe Yosef writes that they allow it because it's a nezek gadol and it's a hefsid to most of the anshei ha'ir. The Levush writes that it's a tsaras mizonos, that since it relates to the food supply, and that's chai nefesh, that's like pikuach nefesh, and therefore you're allowed to do bakashos for the sake of matters that relate to pikuach nefesh. Maritz Chayus explains that the heter is because it could be that dafka at that point it's a shas rachamim, and therefore if you wait till tomorrow, meaning it's something that can't wait, because it could be that you need to tap into the shas rachamim dafka then, even if it happens to be Shabbos, but maybe by the next day it's going to be too late to tap into that rachamim. And when things are desperate and time is of the essence, one is allowed to cry out in tefillah even on Shabbos, right? If people are in harm's way right now, then a person is allowed to cry out on Shabbos. So people ask all the time, could they have like a Tehillim gathering on Shabbos? So if a person is ill in a sense, in a way that it's imminent, that it could be that he's going to die any moment, then yes. If a person is in it for the long haul and there's nothing that's omid al parak right now, then probably not. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan says, when the Brisa says that we're Maturian al Prakmatya, it's Kingon Klei Pishton Bebavel. It's what did the market change on Klei Pishton in Bavel? The Yain B'Shem Beretzol and Yain B'Shem Neretzol, meaning something that's a major product in that market, that a lot of people's Parnassa is going to be at stake because of that product becoming too cheap. Amar Rav Yosef, v'hu dizal v'kam asar b'shita. It has to have gotten so cheap that you could sell 10 units for, you used to be able to get for 6 units. So it went down by almost half in terms of the price change. Tan Rabbanan, ein yotzen me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. A person should not leave Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz la'aretz. There's a discussion that we've shown him why not. The Rashbam writes, based on the Gilyon HaShas in Ksubistav Kufiyud, that because you're being mevatel the mitzvah satzlius baretz, when you're in chutz la'aretz, you're not able to do all of, so many of the mitzvahs that are satzlius baretz. One, Torah does not need to say that. The Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash, understands that, no, there's an actual mitzvah sasei of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. V'arashtem esaretz v'yishavtem ba. There's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so don't leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, not because you're going to be missing out on the mitzvahs that become opportunities only in Eretz Yisrael, because that itself is a mitzvah. To be in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. So when you leave, a person is giving up on the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So what is a good reason to leave? Ela im kein, unless the market conditions are such that that a place where they sell two sa'av chitim for a half a sella, amdu sasayim besella. Now two sa'av chitim will cost a sella, that the inflation is such that the prices have doubled. So Amar Rabbi Shimon, emasai, when do we say such a din? Bizman she'eno motzi likach. That's if there's not enough of money to buy wheat at such a price. Al b'zman shemotzi likach, but if you could find enough money to buy wheat, even if there's inflation, afilu amdosav b'sel lo yetsi, then you shouldn't leave, even if a sah of chitim now costs a seller. Meaning, if people happen to make a parnasa where they have enough money, even though the inflation is pretty bad, that's not a reason to leave Eretz Yisrael. The Tosfos raises the question: why should it all depend on how much chitim cost? Even if the chitim do not go up in price so much, if you don't have money to buy the chitim, then it's pasha that you're allowed to leave in order to have parnasa. You don't need to remain in Eretz Yisrael and die of starvation in Eretz Yisrael. So it doesn't matter to me what things cost if I have no money in my pocket. So how come we make it all dependent on the cost of items? So Lecha Mishnah explains in Hilchos Melachim Perikei that the Gemara does not mean that you're not able to buy them at all, but that it's a big tircha to buy them. So since they're expensive and it's a big tircha to buy them, the combination of those two factors is reason enough to leave Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says something very similar, that it's usher to leave Eretz Yisrael, to go to Chutz La'aretz, even if there's famine in Eretz Yisrael, if you have enough money to buy food, because Elimelech, Machlon, V'chilion, Elimelech and his two sons, Machlon and Chilion, that are mentioned in Megillas Ros, Gedolei Ador Hayu, they were Gedolei Ador, Uparnasei Ador Hayu, they were Parnasei Ador, they were supporters and leaders of the generation, and why were they punished? They were punished on account of this sin of leaving Eretz Yisrael and going to Chutz La'aretz. The Mitzvah David says, who cares that they were Gedolei Hador? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Nosei Panim, meaning the same Avera for a Schlepper to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz La'aretz, the same Avera for a very dignified person. Why does it matter that they're Gedolei Hador? So Mitzvah David explains, based on what the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Yudalit says, that a person when he's Omid the Gedul is Mochlin Lo Kalavanosav. So if they would have been punished and they would have been anybody else, I would say, I don't know why they're being punished. They could have done any number of averos. But since they were Gedolei Ador, they were all the Gedula, whatever other averos they did, they had a mechila on. So this is the only avero we know of that they could have been punished for. So we see that they were punished. Now we know that's the hechrich, that the reason they were punished was because they went to Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara darshins the Pasuk in Megillas Rus. Pasuk says, when Nami and Rus came back from Moab to Eretz Yisrael, Vateum kol ir alein v'tomarna hazos na'ami. So my hazos na'ami, what did they mean when they asked, is this Naomi? Amrav Yitzchak Amru Chazisim Naomi Sheyatzes Meretz Chutz La'aretz Ma'osala. Look what happened to her because they left Eretz Yisrael and they went to Chutz La'aretz. That her husband Elimelech died, her two sons Machlon and Kilion died. Terrible, terrible things befell her because of her leaving Eretz Yisrael. V'Amrav Yitzchak Osa Yom Shabasa Rusa Moavia the Eretz Yisrael Mesa Ishto Shel Boaz. The day that Rusa Moavia came to Eretz Yisrael, Boaz's wife happened to have died on that day, paving the way for Rus to be able to marry Boaz. V'hainu damri inshi, and that's what people say, Adelo shachiv shichva, before someone dies, kaima manu baisei. There's already someone else ready to take that person's place. Meaning before Boaz's wife died, Rus was already put into place to be able to be his wife. And it's telling us that a person has to have bitachon, that on the day that something terrible happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu often has prepared the refuah before the machala. It also teaches that nobody is irreplaceable, right? Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Baruch Hu figures out a way that someone has to play a role, that there's going to be somebody in that role. That's what Shachar always says, that the saying goes that the cemetery is full of irreplaceable people. But somehow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for a society that there will be proper leadership, there will be proper people to take their place. Amra Barav Huna Amar Rav. Avtsan, Rav Shachar says that in the context of people saying, I can't make Aliyah because I'm so important here in Chutz La'aretz. No one's so important. Chutz La'aretz will figure it out. The Jewish community will figure it out. So Amarav Baravuna Amarav. Ivtsan Zeboaz. Ivtsan is one of the Shoftim that's mentioned in Sefer Shoftim, and that in fact is the same person. It's Boaz who's mentioned in Megillas Rus. The Gemara is going to say that Boaz was the son of Nachshon ben Aminadav, meaning we're going to do the math over here. We're going to put Ivtsan and Boaz together, and once you merge those two personalities, a lot of very interesting things emerge about Boaz. So one of the things is that we know about Boaz that he was the son of Nachshon ben Aminadav. That's the pasuk in Divrei Yamim. So Rashi in Divrei Yamim says, wait a second. So that means Boaz was born when we first came into Eretz Yisrael, and he was a shofet after Yiftach died. So from the Dora Midbar until Yiftach was 300 years, meaning Ivtsan was the shofet that took over after Yiftach died. Yiftach is famous because Yiftach bedoro kishmol bedoro. Right, meaning, but Ivtsan is less famous. But we know about him. We're going to see that he had a lot of children, and he made a lot of parties, and all the children died. But that would mean that Boaz took over the to be a shofet 300 years later. And in the end, at the very end of his life, he married Rus, and he had Ovid Avi Yishai as a child. So it turns out that Boaz had a baby when he was more than 300 years old. So Rashi says, how come nobody knows about that? Meaning, we make a huge deal out of the fact that Avraham Avinu was zochet to have a child when he was 100 years old. Boaz was more than three times that age, and he had a child, and we don't seem to make such a big deal about it. So Rashi writes that's why the Torah, the Tanakh says about Rus, Vayitein Hashem la hirayon, that Hashem gave her a pregnancy. That it is highlighting that fact, that such a pregnancy could have only come from Hashem, because it doesn't make sense that someone that age should be able to impregnate a woman, or should be able to live. But that's what we learn about Boaz by putting these two personalities of Ivtsan and Boaz together. So my kamashmalan, what's he telling me when he says Ivtsan is Boaz? So ki idach to Rab Baravuna. What the other teaching of Rab Baravuna? Dam Rab Baravuna Merav may have asked from Mishtolos also Boaz lebanav, that Boaz made 120 parties for his sons and his daughters. Shenemar ve'ilo shlosh banav. The pasuk in Sefer Shoftim says that Ivtsan had 30 sons, Shloshim Banos, Shila Chachutza, and he married off 30 daughters that he sent to live with sons-in-law. Ushloshim Banos Hevi Lubanov Minachutz, and he brought in 30 daughters-in-law to his house for his sons. Vayishpotas Yisrael Sheva Shanim, and he was a shofet for 7 years. Ubukala Chas V'Achas, and each time he made a chasana, Asa Shnei Mishtaus. He made two parties, Echad Beis Aviv, Echad Beis Chamiv, one in his father's house and one in his father-in-law's house. Right, they had a sheva brachas by the parents and a sheva brachas by the in-laws. So he made two different parties. And all those parties, he never once invited Manoach, who is the father of Shimshon, because Manoach had not yet had any children. So Amar kudna akara b'may parali. So normally, when you're figuring out invitation lists for a wedding, you say, "Oh, that person made a chasna. Was I invited to their chasna?" So it's always there's reciprocation involved. So he said, "How's he ever going to reciprocate? I'm going to invite him to 120 parties, and he's never going to invite me to any party. I'm not going to waste 120 meals at whatever it costs the head to feed this guy. He's never going to be able to invite me back because he doesn't have any children." The Marsha says, that's how tzaddikim talk. I mean, that's the way that Boaz should make a cheshbon. So he says that there were no egg to be nana from a suit of a chasan b'derech shushvinus, that it was an understood arrangement. No one could really afford to just be giving away meals unless you're getting a meal back in return. So that was the way the whole society ran. The Inyan Yaakov explains, based on what the Gemara says in Brachos of Samach Aleph, that Manoach was Nama Aretz. And we know the Gemara at the beginning of Bava Basra says that Rebbe had great tsar from the fact that he supported Amei Haaretz, that he wanted his money to go to support Tamid Chachamim. So to give away something free to Nam Haaretz, that bothered him a great deal. So whatever his reason was for thinking this way, he was not rewarded for thinking this way. Tana, v'kulan mesu b'chayev. The Gemara implies that on account of such a way of thinking, all of his children died during his lifetime. So what we're learning by saying Ivtzon is Boaz is that if a person gets married young, he should continue to try to build his family like Boaz did after his wife died. He married Rus, even though you might say he had a large enough family by the time his wife died. His children were not yet dead; his children were all alive. So, but he was afraid that you never know, and you never know which child is going to bring you the most bracha, which child is going to bring you the most nachas. So he married Rus, and he had one child from Rus, and that child is what brought about the Malchus based of it. And what happened with all the other children? They were all gone, nothing. And that's what people say, if during your lifetime you have 60 children that might die during your lifetime, what benefit are you going to get from those 60 children? Have another child, which is going to be stronger than the 60 original children. From all those 60 children that Boaz's first wife had, nothing remained from it. And from that one child that he had from Rus, where David HaMelech was able to emerge from that. The Iyun Yaakov says that the Lashon Shitin is Merames on David HaMelech, because we know about David HaMelech, the Gemara says in a couple of places that he would never sleep more than Shitin Nishmin. So the number 60 comes up in David HaMelech's life. So this is a remez to David HaMelech. The Rashbam and Rabbeinu Gershom say that maybe it's a reference to Manoach, who having Shimshon as a child, because Shimshon was stronger than 60 children of Boaz. So maybe that's why what the Shitin is, that it's not the one that Boaz had, it's the one that Manoach had. Shimshon Agibar became more powerful than the 60 children that Boaz originally had, that Ivtzon originally had. Okay, so Simon. We now have a Simon for the coming statements of Rav Chanan bar Rava in the name of Rav. The Malach Avraham, Esrashonim, Sheniftar, and so Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav. Statement number one: Elimelech v'Salmon uPloni Almoni. Elimelech and Salmon, who was Boaz's father, and Ploni Almoni, who was a relative of Naomi that didn't want to be goel the field, va'avi Naomi. Kulan b'nei Nachshon b'nei Aminadav. They were all children of Nachshon b'nei Aminadav. My Kamash Malon, what are you teaching us by saying that? Shafil mi'ishayish l'zuchus avos. Even someone who has zuchus avos, like Elimelech, who is a child of Nachshon, who is a very chashuva person, eino omedus l'b'shosh yotzei b'aretz l'chutz l'aretz. All that zuchus avos is not going to help if a person leaves Eretz Yisrael and goes to chutz l'aretz. Va'amar Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav. Another teaching of Rav Chanan bar Rava in the name of Rav is the names of various mothers of important figures in Tanakh. Imed Avram, the mother of Avram Avinu, Amaslai Bas Karnavo. Her name was Amaslai Bas Karnavo. Imed Haman, Haman's mother was Amaslai Bas Urvasi. V'simanayich, and the way to remember the parent of these mothers, what the name was, whether it was Karnavo or Urvasi, was Tame Tame Tar Tar. That Urvasi is lashon of an Orev, and Orev is a raven, which is an Of Tame. So Haman's grandfather, father, I guess, was, it doesn't say the gender, who Urvasi was, whether it was the father or the mother, but Haman's grandparent was named after Orev, and Tara Tara, Karnavo, is a Lashon of Crete Zone, which is a Tara animal, a sheep, so Avram's grandparent was Tahar. So he made David Nitzavas Bas Adol Shema, David's mother was named Nitzvas Bas Adol, he made Shimshon's mother, which is amazing that the Navi never tells us her name, because the whole story is about her. The other ones, there isn't much written in Tanakh about them, but we got a lot about Eishes Manoach, right? There's a lot of stuff, but nevertheless, and so the Haftarah of Parshas Nos is all about Eishes Manoach, but that never says her name. So her name is Tzalal Ponis Va'achase, and Shimshon's sister is Nashyan. L'maynaf Kamino, why do I need to know the names of these people? L'tshuvas Aminim, to answer all the apikorsim that ask what the names of these people's mothers are, so we could say That's why we need Torah Shebaal Peh, to know the names of the mothers of these important people. In the Tel Torah, he points out that when it comes to Shimshon, it could be that there's enough Gemina La Halacha, because the Gemara in Maseches Nazir Davdalit says that if a person says Hareini Nazir Kishimshon Ben Manoach, he's not a Nazir. And Tosov there explains that in order to be a Nazir, you need to mention three Simanim. Shimshon Ben Manoach is two Simanim. It's his name and his father's name. So mainly, if you say that you're a Nazir, Kishimshon Ben Manoach, Ben Tzolal, whatever, Tzolal Ponis, so then that's three Simanim, and then Yitaka be a Nazir. So it's important to know the name of the mother in order to be able to take a Neder Nazirah. So it actually chaps enough Gemina La Halacha. There are 10 years that Avram Ravinu was held as a prisoner. Shalosh Bekuta, 3 years in Kuta, Visheva Bekardu, and 7 years in Kardu. Some of the Yachronim explain, the Marshal explains, that the Gemara Nedarim says that Avram Ravinu was 3 years old when he was Makir as Boro. So they wanted to punish him for believing in monotheism. But you can't punish someone until he's a bar mitzvah. So they jailed him for 10 years till they were going to punish him for believing in monotheism. I don't know how they knew about bar mitzvah if you don't believe in God. But okay, Rav Dimi Min Arda, Masni Ibcha. Rav Dimi Min Arda taught the opposite, that 7 years he was in Kusa and 3 years in Kardu. Amar Rav Chista, Ibra Ze'iru de Kusa, Zeu Or Kasdim, a place called Ibra Ze'iru de Kusa, that is the Or Kasdim that we know about, that Avram Avinu was thrown into the Kivshana Eish and was saved from. Also, Yom Shrift Avram Avinu Min HaOlam, the day that Avram Avinu died, Amdu Kol Gedolei Umos Olam B'Shura, all the Gedolei Umos Olam stood in a row like Avelim would do. Va'amru Oiloi LeOlam Shavad Manigo Va'ila L'Svina Shavad Kivarinta, that woe unto the world that lost its leader, and woe unto the boat that lost its captain. So the Marsha says, isn't that a double lashon? Why do you need to tell me both of those things, that the manhig and the captain of the boat? So he says that it refers to two different milos that Avram Avinu had. He had a milos haseichel and a milos amidos. He was brilliant and he was very refined. So as far as the seichel is concerned, so oylo l'olam shavad manhigo, that people, he would teach, he was the manhig ha'olam in his brilliance. And as far as the midos are concerned, it's oylo l'sfina shavad kvarinta, that the olam hazeh is like a boat, and you need someone to guide us in the proper midos, and Avram Avinu was the person that was able to guide people in the proper midos. Now the pasuk says in the tefillah of David, in Divrei Yamim, v'amisnasi l'chol Rosh, Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Amar Rav, Afilu Reisha Gargusa Mishamayim Mukmile. If you're in charge of anything, even if you're in charge of deciding who waters which fields on which day, that comes min Hashemayim. Anyone who has any position of Sarara, any position of authority, it always comes min Hashemayim. Amar Chibar Rav Nam Rishu Ben Karcha, Chas V'Shalom Shafilu Matzu Subin Lo Yatsu. You cannot say that Elimelech and Machlon and Chilion were punished because they left Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz. No. Had they had any food to eat, even if they would have found bran, they never would have left Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. They didn't have what to eat. What do you want from them? You know why they were punished? They should have been mevakish rachamim for their generation, and they did not. The pasuk says that through crying out to be mekabitz the nidachim, you'll be saved. And since they didn't cry out for their generation, they were not saved. Oftentimes, a person feels that he sees that everyone is suffering, and he sees that there's a big problem. But what can I do? So the person shouldn't have that attitude. That tefillah works. A person should have the attitude that we're able to daven, we're able to affect very, very big changes in a big world. Amar Rabbi Bar Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Bechana also taught in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that even if there's the grain is very expensive, food is very expensive, you don't leave Eretz Yisrael. Lo shanu el mos bezul peros biyoker. That din is only if money is available and food is very expensive. So aval ma'os biyoker, but if money is not easily available and the payros are not cheap, then and the payros are cheap, afilu amdu arba sin b'sela, even if you could get 4 se'in of wheat for a single sela, yotzin, you leave Eretz Yisrael if you don't have the money with which to buy any of that wheat. Okay, so next simon is sela po'el charuva talia amrin. This is a simon of the various things that Rabbi Yochanan recalled. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Nehirna, he says, I remember Kadavikaimin Arbasin Basella, when 4 sin of wheat could be purchased for a seller, which is pretty cheap, Favunufishi Nefichik Fun Bitveria Midales Isar. But since no one had any money, people's stomachs were bloated from starvation. Vam Rabbi Yochanan Nehirna, Rabbi Yochanan says, I also remember Kadlohayum Mitgarin Pawalaya, Leminach Karta, Mereach Pita Maisin, when they didn't have workers to work in the eastern side of the city because the Ruach Maravis was too strong, so the Poelim died because of the smell of the food that they couldn't afford. I remember when a child would cut a charuv and he would hold half of it in one hand, half in the other hand, and a strand of honey would come out on both of his arms, meaning that's how fatty and delicious the payrolls were, that when you'd cut a charuv, the juice from the charuv would like stream down the person's arm. You ever bite into like a juicy plum and just like the juice gets all, so that's how juicy the fruits were. V'amar Rav Lazar Nehirna Kadavanatul Urva Bisra, says, I remember when a raven would take meat, v'nagin chuta d'mishcha, and a strand of fat would go, or of oil, of fat, meirei shura v'alara, from the top of the wall that the bird that the raven would rest on until to the ground. I also remember the old days when young boys and young girls were able to walk in the market, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, where the Yetzer Hara is pretty strong, and still they would not be chote. Why didn't he say 18 years old? The Yetzer Hara is even stronger. Marsha says, because by then they were married, so you weren't even have to worry about the Yetzer Hara. But the Chiddush that he remembers is such an unnatural thing that 16 and 17-year-old boys and girls can be together and not do averos. That's not a natural thing in the natural world. He says, I remember they said in the Beis Medrash that anyone who agrees to that which the Goyim are saying is ultimately going to fall into their hands. Someone who trusts in them is ultimately everything that belongs to you is going to belong to them. They're going to take away everything you got. Ksiv, Machlon, Vekilion. Now, the names of as recorded in Megillas Rus are Machlon and Chilion. So we're returning back to Megillas Rus now. Uksiv, and in Divrei Yamim, they're called by different names, Yoash Visaraf. So what were their real names and what were the nicknames? So Rav Shmuel Chadom are Machlon, Vekilion, Shimon. Veloma, Nikra, Shimon, Yoash Visaraf. Machlon and Chilion were the real names. Why were they called Yoash Visaraf? Yoav, Shenis, Yashu, Minagula, because they gave up on HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Goel them from the famine. Visaraf, Shenis, Chayvu, Shreifa lemakom, that they're chayv shreifa for leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz. V'chadam, and the other one says, no, Yoash v'sarav Shimon, their real names are Yoash v'sarav v'lam and Nikra Shimon Machlon v'chilion. Why were they called Machlon v'chilion in Megillas Rus? Machlon shasu gufan chulin, that they became, their bodies became more mundane by leaving the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. V'chilion shenis chayv v'klayu lemakom, that they deserved to be, to die. They were chayv misa because they left Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz. Tanya came. We have a brisa that supports the shita that their actual names were Machlon v'Chilion. The Tanya, my d'chsev, what does the pasuk mean in Divrei Yom? When it goes through the children of Yehuda, it says v'yokim v'anshei choseva v'yoash v'saraf asher ba'alu l'mav v'yashuvi lechem v'advarim atikim. So darshan each word of the pasuk. V'yokim ze Yoshua shehekim shua la'anshei givon. That's a reference to Yoshua who swore la'anshei givon that he wasn't going to kill them. Va'anche Choseva, Elu Anche Givon, Shekizbu be Yoshua. That's a reference to the people of Givon who lied to Yoshua in order to get out of being killed. They were really from the Shivas Ha'amim that Yoshua was supposed to kill. But they claimed that they were foreigners and they just happened to be here. So Yoshua swore to them that he's not going to touch them. V'yoash v'saraf, Elu Machlon v'chilion. That's the children of Elimelech ben Nachshon from Shevet Yehuda. V'lama Nikra Shimon, Yoash v'saraf. Why are they called Yoash v'saraf, which were not the real names? So that's the line, right? There you see that their real names were Machlon v'Chilion. Ashabalu l'Moav, shenasu nashim Moavios, that they married Moavi women, Rus and Arpa, v'yoshuvi lechem, zerus ha-Moavia, shava v'nidbuka b'beis lechem Yehuda, that after her marriage to Machlon, she returned to Beis Lechem Yehuda and married Boaz. V'advarim atikim, dvarim alalu, this whole series of events that happened, atikim mayin amaran, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it all into play way earlier. And it already goes all the way back to Sefer Bereishis and to Lot's children that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting all of this in place in order for the Malchus Beis David to emerge. The Pasuk in Divrei Yom again describes the Bnei Yehuda. So we darshin. That they guarded over the Shavua, their father, not to drink wine and not to build any houses. In the Sefer Yirmiyahu, it says that their father made them swear not to drink wine and not to live in houses, and through that they're going to live Yamim Rabim. They'll live long lives. So they observed that promise. They observed that Shavua. Yoshrei Netayim Zeshlomo Shadom LeNatia B'Malchusam. That is, Malchus is like a growing plant. Ugedera Zuzan Sanhedrin Shagadru Pirtosei and Shal Yisrael. A reference to the Sanhedrin that we're always making Siyagim LeTorah. Ima Melech B'Malchto Yashvu Sham. Zorus HaMoavia, that's Rus, Sharasa, B'malchus Shlomo, Ben Beno, Shal Ben Bena. She got to see her great-great-grandson become a melech. So sometimes when a baby's born and there's still a great-great-grandparent, we make a huge deal about that. Five generations in the world at one time. She got to see that kid grow up and become a melech. Shenemar v'yosem kisei le'eim ha-melech. Pasuk says in Malachim Aleph that they made a kisei for the eim ha-melech. Who's the eim ha-melech? From Rabbi Lazar, le'ima shel malchus. It means the matriarch of the entire malchus. It's a reference to Rus, not to Shlomo ha-melech's own mother. Tan Rabban ve'achalta min ha-tavua yashan. Pasuk says when you keep the mitzvos, particularly the mitzvah of Shemitah, so then you'll eat from tavua yashan. So what does that mean? So it means below salminton. So my below salminton, what does that mean? So if not below ritzinta, it means that the tavua is not going to become wormy. Rav Sheshi Samar below shadifa, it means it's not going to become wind blasted and destroyed in that way, meaning that the grain is going to be sustained and is going to be there to provide for you in Shana Hashishis and Shana Hashemiyas and Shana Hashminis. You'll have what to eat even though you're observing Shemitah. It's part of the bracha of observing Shemitah. Tanya Kavasei Rav Sheshis, we have a brisa that supports of Sheshes, that it means that the grain is not going to be wind blasted, and Tanya Kavasei Drav Nachman says that it means it's not going to be wormy. Tanya Kavasei Drav Nachman Ve'achaltem Yashan Yachal Yehu Yisrael Mitzapin L'Chadash Mnei Yashan Shekala. You might think that the Jewish people are going to be waiting for the new grain because the old grain is already finished, because it's already rotted out and wormy. So Tavolomar Ad Bo Tvuasa. That's what the pasuk says. Bo Tvuasa Atchatavu Tvuah Me'Aleha. That the Tvuah is going to grow on its own. You're not going to have to harvest early and try to dry out the wheat in order to produce food earlier on in the season. You could wait for the natural process and everything's going to be fine and you have plenty of food. Nothing's going to be bad. Tiny Kavasi Rav Sheshes. We have a Bryce that supports Rav Sheshes. V'achaltem in atvua yashan. So yachal you yisrael you mitzap in l'chadash. You might think that the Jewish people are going to eat from the old tevua until before the harvest season, and then they're going to be waiting for the new tevua mnei yashan shara, because of the yashan that is ra. So that's the slight difference. And not yashan shekala, not that became wormy, but that's ra because it was destroyed by the wind. Tavolomer ad bo tevuasa ad shetavu tevua me'aleha. That's why it says ad bo tevuasa, that don't worry, you could wait for the grain to come in its natural way. The old grain is going to be perfectly fine. We're going to have enough to support ourselves with. Tanu Rabban and Brisa says when we discuss the promise for those who observe the mitzvah, by giving a bracha that you'll eat the old stuff, if that's a bracha, that means old stuff must be really good. So It comes to teach us that they don't make things the way they used to, right? That the older stuff is always the better stuff. And that's the bracha that you're going to have the yashan. The tevua yashan is better than the tevua chadasha. I would only know about things that where it's the derech to age them. Dvarim shein dark on the ashnan. What about things that where it's not the derech to age such things? Minayin, how do I know that even such things, it's good to have them old? Tamalomar yashanoshan mikal makom. A double lashon of yashan to tell me that Eretz Yisrael is meshubach with things that are aged. V'yashan mipnei chadash totziu melamit shayu otzos melein yashan ugranos melein chadash. They're going to have warehouses full of the old grain, and now it's going to come time to gather in the silo all of the new grain. And the Jewish people are going to say, I don't want to get rid of the old stuff. It's really good, but I need to make room in the warehouse for the new stuff. Amar of Papa, Kalmilia Tiki Ma'alia. Anything that's old, all the old stuff is good, with three exceptions. Levar Mitamri, except for dates. Old dates are no good. Veshichra, and old beer is no good. Vaharsina, and as you might have guessed, fish. Old fish is also not so great. So Adjalach, Amokhra, Sassina, Bezram. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the sixth parak of Maseches Baba Basra. Everyone have a wonderful day.